The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the house. Still to come this hour, Adam Burke on College Hoops. And a little baseball, but primarily college hoops with Adam Burke. Is he in studio? He's in studio, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little in studio from Adam Burke. And then Kelly and I with our college basketball conference tourney pick'em contest. Oh, it's going to be contentious. Mono a mono.
Watch out.
Me versus Kelly. With the prize going to the crew. Whoever loses pays for a futures ticket for the crew, which
That's right.
Is nice. Yeah.
Of their choosing, whichever team.
We highlighted Isaiah Von Wrinkle earlier, but Wyatt Tomchek, part of the crew as well. What other crew members would you like
Liz
to
highlight? Liz Foster, Matt Hicks, Ryan Pineda, who built all our Academy Awards graphics. Of course, our two great audio guys that we need both every day, one on the ones, one on the twos, Kevin Trask and Sean McCollum.
A lot of people,
great people have put great work into this show.
Absolutely. Thanks for the Oscars music, by the way. And on these way out the door, Brian Ortega said, hey, by the way, if they're wondering why I didn't talk about best supporting actor, he said, don't bet it because the prohibitive favorite will win.
Everything everywhere all at once, that actor minus 5,000.
You don't want to say his name? Hugh Kwan, I believe is how you pronounce it.
Yeah,
I might be wrong.
I'm sure. I'm sure you got it perfect.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. just perfection. Don't bet it. But those are three, the fact that we have three major categories that are super bettable is definitely a rarity. So good luck to everybody at the 95th Academy Awards on Sunday. Real quick before we get to JVT, we get tweets at Beatty the Book. This is from Mark Geiger. Oh, no. Price horse. Is there a chance? He says, chance of rain today, raining in the L.A. area right now. I'm headed to Indian Wells. Am I going to get rained out?
Well, I don't know. It was cloudy when we were driving in here.
I was surprised by that.
I know Vegas is not L.A., but.
This just in. Breaking. Tom Hutchins. Please list the picks for tennis. I was driving and it flew past. A million dollar Rob. Unreal. My phone died and I missed the tennis picks. Can you repeat them? Yes, we can. Our second 2-1 in a row yesterday. We have six today. My goodness, what has happened to me? I like way too much. Like Diego Schwartzman at +240 against Casper Ruud. I think that as bad as Schwartzman has been playing early part of this season, he shows up today. Roberto Bautista Agut at -147 is the only favorite on the board that I'm playing. He's taking on Emil Ruusuvuori. Don't play that higher than -155, though. Anna Kolinskaya on the ladies' side, +146 against Pliskova. I like this surface for Kolinskaya. This should be closer to a pick'em. Linda Fruvertova I have as a pick'em at +123 in her match. I like her there at that number. Shelby Rogers has taken on Maria Sakkari. I don't really do head-to-heads that much, but she owns Sakkari, and her numbers are spectacular in 2023. I like Rogers at +131. And then Leslie at Tsarenko, whose numbers are sneaky good, especially on the return of service, +133 against Donna Vekic, who's coming off winning a tournament. And I think Tsarenko has the goods to counter Vekic's serve. So six plays in tennis. We will read more of your tweets here after the break, but JVT is kind enough to join us. Jonathan Von Tobel, who's our senior NBA analyst, and of course the host of Hardwood Handicappers, and even allows Kelly Bidlin to co-host that podcast from time to time. Weekly, right, Kelly? You're on with JVT?
Man, we're doing that pod 3 days a week now.
3 days. You're on three days a week with JVT. Hardwood Handicappers, wherever podcasts are distributed, VSiN.com/podcast for the basketball pod, and JVT, kind enough to join us. How you doing, John?
I'm good, although Kelly is getting a little uppity. He dropped the other day that he would like his name on the imaging when it comes to the graphic, and I was like, I don't know about that one, buddy.
Bro, it sort of seeps in here, too. It's like,
I got to earn that for six, Kelly's, 7 months.
Kelly's getting closer and closer. Look at that. I feel your pain, John. By the way, I keep calling John JVT. It's Jonathan Von Tobel. Let's give him a proper introduction, for God's sake. So KD out 2 to 3 weeks if you listen to Woj. But if you listen to the Suns, he's going to be reevaluated at that point. I'm going to go with what the Suns said. And so that kind of shoots a torpedo into the regular season, at least half of the remainder of the regular season. And so the Kings, at whatever number they're getting reposted at to win the Pacific, what would you play them at, or would you steer clear of now it's -160 now. Ooh, would you play that? That's too much, right?
It's gotten a little too high. So yesterday when it actually first got reposted, it was at -125, and that was right before their game with the New York Knicks. And that was, of course, I thought a playable number at about minus 125. Now that we're up in this range of minus 160, it's not something. I think that's something that the ship has sailed, if you will. So at least when it comes to the Pacific Division, the Kings. And here's the thing. I mean, to be perfectly honest, for anybody who wanted to get in, that number was playable for the last few weeks, right? Like that was when the Suns went up to minus 175 to win the division with KD got there, all the way through up until this got to minus 160. There was value on Sacramento because the market was really undervaluing a three-game lead
yes.
with about 20 games left to go. So I would say now, you know, there was plenty of chances to get in on this, and now that ship has sailed because they are, I think, accurately priced, maybe even a little bit too high.
Don't rub it in, John. It was so playable that I was like, I should make this bet. But you know what? I got cute yep. with it. I'm like, oh, the Kings play the Knicks. They play the Suns. They play the Bucks. I'm going to wait. And then KD gets hurt, and that's the end of that. That's how it works out. By the way, let me just ask the other side of this. Are the Suns at plus 150 a bet that you might advocate? Because immediately when we say KD's out, the brain goes to, well, they're not going to play well. Well, do we know that? I mean, the NBA, and this is the alchemy of the NBA, is filled with what Bill Simmons used to call it, the Ewing theory, right? That there's an optimal efficiency to five guys on the court when your star player, if we can call him that for his brief tenure with the Suns, goes out on a short-term basis, you might be able to overcome that. And the Kings' schedule is tough, as is the Suns.
I would agree with that. And look, so let's just go back to, because your first point is the most important one. KD has played, what are we talking about now, three, four games for the Phoenix Suns?
Yes.
It's like, this is not the loss that I think a lot of people expect it to be. And remember, in about the 14, 15 games prior to Kevin Durant joining, the Suns were playing really good basketball. And I'll take you to the lineups that they were throwing out there without Kevin Durant. Their starting lineup before Durant joined the team. So it's Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Josh Okogie, Terry Craig, and DeAndre Ayton. They were plus 9.6 per 100 possessions. That was a really good starting lineup. That is a group that has played together. That is the group that was broken up to then bring in Kevin Durant into the fold. So they're just going to go right back to a really good starting lineup that had been scoring about 122.8 points per 100 possessions. You know, the defense, it's average, but their offense was really good with that group out there. So I would not sleep on Phoenix in any way, shape, or form. If anybody thinks for some reason that this team, you know, is going to start to take a step back, no, they're just going to revert to form, and it's going to be a team that I think is a little bit more geared toward these unders as opposed to some of the overs. The pace is going to slow down a little bit here for the most part, but I think this is still, and the numbers back that up, an elite group, especially on offense, that it's going to be perfectly fine going forward because they played about 14 games together before KD got there.
So the other part of this then is, and hearing everything you're saying, because I don't disagree with what you're saying. I think it needs to be stated. But let's say KD then, your regular season thoughts aside, let's say he comes back, you know, before the first round, or maybe let's say even after. Let's just play this hypothetical. From a playoffs perspective, is that problematic? Because sure, they might be able to get through a first round, maybe, but like, can he just show up? It's one thing to show up and look good first few games and you're playing all kinds of teams in the NBA, but when you get to the stiffer competition in a playoff setting, will they be able to just gel and go deep into the postseason and be a championship contender, in your opinion?
I would lean toward no, and it's why I thought, you know, look, the market always kind of freaks out when teams get players like a Kevin Durant, and it's rare that it happens, but you're always going to overvalue, going to protect against the bets that are likely to come in here. But like, to your point, when you're talking about like from a basketball perspective, right, we've seen a little game plan emerge from some teams. And keep in mind, they haven't really played great teams up to this point. But, you know, you saw Dallas a little bit go, you know what, you and Devin Booker do what you want. We are just going to make sure these other guys don't really help you out. We're going to play off the Josh Okogies, and we're going to double in here whenever DeAndre Ayton rolls to the basket. We're going to make sure these guys around you who don't really have elite scoring prowess, that includes Chris Paul, by the way, are not going to do anything. And if you two can combine for 96 points every single night, that's going to be fine. But that's not a sustainable form of basketball. So now, right, Gil, when you're talking about maybe getting back into this thing right at the start of the postseason, and who knows what your first round matchup's going to be, but it could be a pretty tough out against like a Los Angeles Clippers type, or maybe it's a Golden State Warriors, whatever it's going to be. Like, those are teams that I think are equipped to handle what the Phoenix Suns bring to the table. And that's not even factoring in what we're talking about, right? Gelling with Kevin Durant, whoever that's going to be. So I would think, look, Kelly put this really well on the podcast. The exciting thing about the Phoenix Suns is that what they're going to do next year. We have another round of transactions to add to this team. This year, especially with the Kevin Durant news, I doubt their ability to really put forth consecutive series. Can they win one when you have elite talent like Devin Booker and Kevin Durant? Absolutely. But I think once you get to some of these more stout defensive teams, that's going to be a little bit of a problem for them.
All right, real quick, because I want to get to your picks or any thoughts on today's six-game slate. But best award market bet that currently exists in the NBA is?
I mean, I think you're probably going toward, okay, let's do this. As long as Mike Brown continues to remain relatively odds on cheap price, I think that is right. Like, yes. I think that this is something that is really, the market hasn't accounted for. The narrative is incredible. It's a 16-year playoff drought that he's about to end for this team. They're the second seed in the Western Conference. He's going to win that thing going away. So I would say that's at the top of the list for sure.
I think that is a perfect answer to that question. All right. What do you like tonight?
I did bet the Philadelphia 76ers, Portland Trailblazers game over the total. I think we're up to like 232 consensus right now. I bet over 231, 231 and a half. And I think when you're looking at this, there's a couple of things that work in the favor of get this thing going over. Tyrese Maxey's back in the starting lineup. And in the five games since he's been back in the starting lineup, an offensive rating of 132 for the Philadelphia 76ers. Their pace has gone up, but their defense has gotten worse. And now you get the Portland Trailblazers, Damian Lillard, who's averaging 37 points per game since the middle of January, with Anthony Simons potentially on his way back, and a terrible defensive team. I think the market's getting this right and bet this thing over. So that was the play so far right now. Portland Trailblazers, 76ers, over the total.
Over the total, 232 is what we're showing right here. And then on your way out here, JVT, the Sixers, I just never bring them up because I don't take them seriously. Do you take them seriously as a title contender?
To a certain extent, like, we'll put it this way. If everything hits for them, and that's a big ask, their best game, Gil, can beat any team on any given night. We saw that against Milwaukee. The question is that going to happen frequently?
4 out of 7 times in a playoff series. Yeah, that's the question. John, great to talk to you. Good to see you. Enjoy. Thanks so much, man.
Thanks, guys. Good to be back.
Jonathan Von Tobel at me, JVT, on the old Twitter machine. Kelly Bidlin and I with the old conference tourney pick'em contest. And we got to play this Kyrie video. Kyrie's got stuff to say about sports bettors. That's on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. That's the current betting splits data.
Split bets!
My goodness. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's like you're doing another job over there, Kelly.
It's almost like that, yeah.
It's almost like you got work to do.
I'm like, hold on, Director Isaiah. I have to yell things into a microphone.
My primary function of yelling splitting bets is come, and I must leave you.
I haven't heard this from anybody else, but I've decided that over the past couple weeks, it's turning more into me just yelling nonsense. Like, it's not even clear words what I'm yelling. It's just like, man, it's my bet.
That's great. Love that. You should just work that in, see if anybody notices.
You can barely make out what I'm saying.
All right. Before we get to our pick'em contest, our heated pick'em contest for conference tourneys, the remaining conference tourneys of college basketball, and there are a bunch. We got picks to come with the crew being the beneficiary. Kyrie Irving had some stuff to say. He decided to do it on Twitch, by the way, Kelly. He's like, let me do this on Twitch. The first of which has to do with, people saying that he's a cancer in the locker room. Here's what Kyrie had to say.
You would think that I'm the cancer in the locker room, as if basketball is an individual sport that one person is supposed to take blame for. It's 15 guys on the team, and I'm the one cancer in the room. That's what it's portrayed as. That's what you guys get. That's what they have fun doing. That's what why these older, bitter gentlemen and women keep my name in their mouths every day.
Older, bitter gentlemen and
That's
women.
Us.
I resemble those remarks, Kyrie. By the way, what is he wearing?
It looks like a super. I mean, okay. There's a lot to break down with that.
Yes.
Okay, as I watch this.
Yeah.
Yes, it looks like he's got a. I don't know, like a really comfy looking jacket or something. I say you could take this without the audio.
Very cozy.
Yeah, yeah. I don't, like a little comfy little sweatshirt he's got going on there. And then if you watch this video. There's smoke that billows past him several times.
Billows.
Yeah, he billows. I believe I'm using that word correctly. Uh-huh. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if Kyrie's having a nice fireside chat on Twitch. If, maybe we got some late night we're puffing on. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. But you'll notice that throughout these videos.
Billows. I always thought that Brian Billows was an arrogant coach when he coached the Ravens to the championship.
There's just things that he says during this video where it's like, he's acting like we should treat every NBA player the same that's in a locker room. Like, if we know NBA players, stars don't think that way. Like, much less the rest of us. What is he talking about?
Here's what I really wanted to get to. Kyrie Irving had something to say about sports bettors as part of this Twitch rant, and it went a little something like this.
You know, gambling and sports betting has completely taken the purity away from and the fun away from the game at times. I'm going to just be honest with y'all. So, like, work is work, but the support around it can be very distracting. You know what I mean? There's a difference between being a diehard fan and supporting your team and loving your team versus somebody that's betting on a parlay.
Two things. One, he knows what a parlay is. That's the first thing. Good on you there, Kyrie. Don't bet parlays, Kyrie. The other thing is he's not completely wrong, right? So okay. there is a segment, there is a cross-section of the sports betting world that we exist in that is Meshuggah, right? And that they literally, like, you can imagine if they're sliding into his DMs and just murdering him for every bad performance, every loss or whatever, if they lose bets, why wouldn't Kyrie feel that way about, like, he will extrapolate, right? He wouldn't know that there's actual shows that are a little more intelligent than that. He would view them as representative of all sports bettors. And from that perspective, you should never generalize, but if he is generalizing from that, I kind of get why he would, because those people are out of their gourd.
So I thought the same thing, but when I was thinking about that, I was like, you would think this would have hit him by now, but I guess this is where I think the NFL players have a mental step ahead from almost every other athlete right now, because we've been hearing them complain about the fantasy football side of it for like over a decade now, right?
Right.
Of like, don't come at me about your fantasy team. I don't care about your fantasy team.
Or some people lean into it and kind of embrace it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But we're like, yes, is fantasy basketball big? Sure, but not nearly as big as fantasy football.
No.
So there's not people getting in his DMs about how they screwed up their fantasy team the night before as much.
It's a good point. It's a good point, and I also relate that to buttress your point. It's also like, remember when Woj, your boy, you remember when Woj immediately, like, something happened? I can't remember what the incident was, but instead, like, Woj has never blamed, like, bad fan behavior on drinking, excessive drinking, once in his life. But as soon as he had an opportunity, he was like, ah, oh, it's the sports bettors out there. So you're right. These basketball people probably are the least educated on the subject. And jump to conclusions quicker than others.
I just think there's a lot of these. I think there's a lot of athletes that.
Yeah.
Look, is it the bad side of it? A part of the bad side of it, Gil? Absolutely. But there's a lot of these athletes that are going to have to get used to this. Like, that was. Remember Jordan Spieth, like, a few weeks ago with the guys talking about bets on the green? He had to go over. I think it was in Hawaii. He had to go over to two guys. He literally caught him on camera saying this. And he was like, guys, he's like, I don't have a problem with you guys betting, but can you not talk about it, like, while I'm trying to putt? Like, it was, I just, it's something that these athletes are going to have to get used to. I need to put it like that. Like,
I get it on the one hand, because if he has people in his DMs that are killing him, I get it. But yeah, it's time.
Right.
You're going to have to sort of get on the learning curve a little bit. Ready to do this?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Conference tourney pick'em. Do we have a fancy intro?
No, we got fancy graphics.
I like fancy graphics. All right. How do you want to do this? You want to call out the conference and I'll give you my pick? What do you want to do?
We got side by sides. We could just run through and see where we differ.
I should have really come to rehearsal.
This is a great tweet from Nemesis Enforcer of Kyrie rocking the quote Cookie Monster fleece.
That's exactly what it is. Can I go to the store today? But can I get the Kyrie Cookie Monster fleece? Whoa, what, sir? You heard me. All right, we'll start with the American. What are we doing here? We're doing the American.
Alphabetically.
Oh, okay, American. The American. We both went with Houston. I thought for a second to go Memphis, but I didn't want to get cute. I went Houston. We both went Houston. The ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference. We both went Duke. Duke playing very well. Now, did you have the benefit of seeing mine, and then you would just like
No. All right. I did not.
American.
You sent them to me when I was dead asleep last night. I made sure to send mine in before I read yours.
I like it. All right, America East. This is the one that is, it's the first one the Sunday morning of Selection Sunday. We both went with the Vermont Catamounts.
This is one where, like, it took me way too long to even figure out who was playing in this conference.
This is always in their little gym on Sunday morning. It's the first game. They always win. Atlantic 10, we both went with VCU. VCU of the remaining four teams.
I thought I was zagging here.
They're the best KenPom team of the bunch left, so the semis. So we both ended up going VCU. Now, the Big 12, we did straight. You went Texas. Nothing wrong with that pick. I went Kansas. They're going to win one for Bill Self, who will not be present for the Jayhawks throughout the rest of this tournament.
Okay.
We both went UConn or the Big East. Now, that surprised. I would imagine we would have picked different teams there.
Yeah, me too, because I don't know. I really feel like, Gil, I've seen more Big East basketball than any other conference this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like every single one of those teams remaining could win that thing, actually.
Oh, I see one coming up. That's super embarrassing for me. All right, Big Ten. You went Purdue. You went with the Chalk, Zach Edey and Purdue.
I went Chalky, yep.
I went with Boo Booey and Northwestern. Let's go.
There we go.
Let's go, Northwestern. Let's get this done. Big West, which is right out here at the Dollar Loan Center Arena here in Henderson.
I also learned that while putting my picks in.
Home of Ben Wilson.
It is. It's the house that Ben Wilson built.
The house that Ben Wilson built. This is why it's embarrassing. I went with UC Irvine, who is, I believe, the number one seed in that tournament and also the best KenPom team in that tournament. My buddy is the AD at Riverside. And you went with Riverside. I am, oh no. I hope Wes isn't listening.
Yeah, this is one.
Yeah.
You should be treading very carefully. Hopefully you are not following any of mine from a betting standpoint. Because, oh man, especially this one, Gil, this could have been pick a Cal team out of a hat.
Conference USA. We both went with Florida Atlantic.
Hoot.
One of the three-man weavers told us that they are pretty live into March Madness.
Matt Cox and I had a long conversation about FAU yesterday, actually.
Oh, did you lean on Matt Cox for some of your picks?
We started texting, though. I didn't realize he had been to multiple of their games.
Ivy League, we both went with Yale. The Ivy League semis is tomorrow. They're the last conference to start. By the way, Yale has won three of the last five Ivy League regular season titles and two of their, I think, the last two tournaments. Metro Atlantic, Iona, the Fighting Rick Pitinos of Iona, the Iona Gales, we both went Iona. The MAC, I had no real idea. I went Toledo, you went Kent State.
Mm-hmm.
The MEAC, the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, I went with Howard University, D.C. Zone. Nothing like a great afternoon on the quad at Howard. You instead went NC Central. How dare you? Mountain West, I went with Tyson Diggenhart and the Boise State Broncos. You went San Diego State.
Went Chalk again.
Yeah, Boise State just getting by UNLV last night. Pac-12, I went UCLA despite the Jalen Clark absence. You went Arizona. We both went Bama in the SEC. We both went Grambling in the SWAC.
Obviously.
And I went Sam Houston State thanks to Peter Keating in the WAC. You went Utah Valley. Let's see how it goes. Coming back with our NFL draft thoughts next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from the beautiful South Point Hotel Casino on the tip of the Strip. We'll give the South Point enough love on each show, Kelly.
It's really true.
Two things we don't do now. We don't say how lovely the South Point is. Is lovely the right word?
It's lovely. It's clean.
Yeah.
It's clean, which is maybe one of my favorite things about the South Point. Because there's some other casinos in this town that you could go to that, you know, off the strip that not exactly the cleanest place.
All you can eat popcorn. There's all kinds of things here at the South Point. It's amazing. The other thing we don't ever do, because we talk about, I promote the Beating the Book podcast, the latest of which is the Indian Wells pod that I did with Drew Dinsick. Kelly, of course, does Hardwood Handicappers. And, of course, Long Shots, which he does with Matt Brown and Wes Reynolds. But we never say a numbers game podcast. Mm-hmm. A numbers game podcast is available every day of the week as well, Monday through Friday. In case you miss anything from the show, you can check out a numbers game podcast. Every show has its own podcast as well. So check it out. We get tweets at Beating the Book, VSiN.com/podcast, by the way, for all of those. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Let's see. PAW, Rogers, Fruver Tover, Colin Skaya. Who was the fourth? There were six total. We'll put them on the picks page. We'll post them up again.
They should be up there now.
Yeah. J-Rod 55 CCM. This is not our J-Rod, but another J-Rod. He said, but if you played Dr. Bob's picks yesterday in a straight 4-team money line parlay, he was 4-0.
Is true. Yeah. I mean, that's not something we often recommend, but that's...
Some people take his picks and do that.
Right. That's how tight all those were yesterday.
Yeah. Godfather 702 just missed the 6. Based on the KenPom rankings, will you please post them on the Twitter machine? It's actually 8 now.
It's already working on it.
He's already working on it. Okay. Jason H11, come on, man. Talking to you, Kelly, says it's Tuchus push. Thanks, Gil, for setting him straight. I know. These people want to say tush push because it rhymes.
No, you know what? There's actually so many good names for it. I get confused now. Because I like the two-cheek sneak, too. That's a funny one. That's good.
Jason H11 also adds, thanks for the tennis picks. Good luck to you. I'll be following. Quick question. What's the name of that sushi place again?
Yes.
Jeff.
Keep doing it, guys. Every tweet you said did. That at the end.
Oh, every tweet?
Every tweet.
That's not going to get old. Jeff at...
say the restaurant, man.
Fuente Fiesta. The power's in your hands, Gil. Can confirm it is raining in L.A. currently, but it's a light drizzle. Clear skies tomorrow. Have fun at Indian Wells. Thank you.
There we go.
Cannot wait. Todd Bubba Horwitz was doing a TV hit, and I come back to a bar mitzvah buffet of tennis picks. Thanks, Gil. Enjoy Indian Wells. There's your nemesis enforcer, Kyrie, rocking the Cookie Monster fleece.
That's great.
Yes, Phil Weiss, you are correct. At least he didn't blame them this time. You're right. Kiss the Degenerate. Not a big fan generally, but Kyrie does have a point about sports gamblers. Kind of makes me worry if the athletes are affected by weirdo amateur sports gamblers. I think that point does need to be made. Yes, they got to get on the learning curve, but I totally get it.
I totally get it. I totally get it, too. But do you agree with me that the NFL players might be like a step ahead of this?
Yes.
Like, I don't think they're going to be as affected by all this because they've been dealing with the fantasy stuff for years.
The Woj thing drove that home for me, where he's like, these gamblers. I'm like, okay, Woj, relax. Corbin. I'm going to Ron Burgundy this. I guess you could say Kyrie's under a cloud of smoke. Stop being so dramatic. Play basketball. Just win and people forget, right? He's only won when LeBron carried him, so that won't happen. Amazing player off court ruins any legacy. Will it ruin his legacy, do you think? I mean, he's amazing. He's so talented.
But
it's tough to get past because the off court stuff has caused him to be a, ready for this, peripatetic basketball player. He's all over the place.
I'll have to head to dictionary.com for that one afterward.
Yeah.
Well, English major from Florida State.
Knowles, baby. No, what it means is he's just well-traveled. Like, he plays, I mean, a guy like that, right, and it's this day and age, guys like KD and Kyrie, you would think with that level of talent, like, why would they go from team to team? Like, who would let them go? But they're, in Kyrie's case, he's such an issue, so...
I don't know about that. This is super sports talky, Gil, but as of right now, if Kyrie Irving were to retire at the end of this season, yes, I think he's more remembered for what he did off court than what he did on the court.
Grandmaster Stash. Gil, Kyrie is right about better sliding into his DMs. Every thinking person knows that pro athletes reserve them strictly for hookups and other things. He said other things. I added other things. So there's that. Okay. NFL draft. Yeah, sure. We love it. Let's take a look again. Live looking odds to be the number one pick in the NFL draft, and these have moved again. Bryce Young still remains the favorite, minus 165. But the Anthony Richardson hype machine has faded a little bit. Thank you, Lord. C.J. Stroud back to... Oh, C.J. Stroud is plus 210 now.
Yes, sir.
Bro, I'm convinced he's going to be the first pick in the draft.
Let's go.
I am convinced. Bet him at plus 682. Bet him a few days ago again at plus 340. I did bet him at plus 350. Bricks and mortar over at Silverton here at the Caesar shop. They spun me in real time. I'll repeat it again. Here's how the transaction went. Oh, I can't believe you guys. It was plus 350 when you put it in. It's plus 340 now. He goes, do you want it or not? That was his response to me.
And, you know, just hearkening back to what I said a few minutes ago, South Point, way better than Silverton.
So C.J. Stroud now plus 210. Anthony Richardson plus 450.
Yeah.
He's not going to be the first pick in the draft, is he? Come on.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, a team will fall in love with him and already has and will draft him in the top 10, if not top 5. But one? Stop it.
I'll stand by our Stroud bets to the end.
Me too.
I have a feeling, though, we'll be ending up at the CLV store with trying to get a stuffed animal or something.
I think we're going to win it.
Okay.
I really do.
I love our bets, though.
How are you going to draft Bryce Young at that size?
How about first wide receiver? I took too long thinking about this bet. You just pulled the trigger on Jackson Smith and Njigba because he is minus money now.
Well, before we get that, can we go back to that one that was just posted? Because, again, a little nuanced thing with these markets. Number one pick in the draft, And there's also first quarterback taken.
Correct.
First quarterback taken is a little bit adjusted because there is that remote possibility. I don't know how remote it is, but however you want to characterize it, that the Bears could still stay there and take a defensive player. And if that's the case, then odds to be the first quarterback taken might be your choice to bet. Bryce Young's minus 185, C.J. Stroud plus 195, Richardson 4-1. So just a slight adjustment with Will Levis coming in at 15-1.
All right, on the fly pro tip.
Yeah.
Gil, is a quarterback going number one?
Yes.
Okay, so you're just betting. If you're going to bet Bryce Young, you're betting him in that number one market, not the first quarterback market. And it's 20-cent difference. That's huge.
Any of them, you're betting in the number one market.
Right.
Yeah, any of those guys. Odds to be the first wide receiver selected. There's my guy, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, minus 130. What was my number on him? Plus 3-something again?
I think so.
I just think he's the best. Now, we've had a lot of people on here who have come on and said it's Quentin Johnston, who's at plus 275. Some people think Jordan Addison's going to be the best pro at plus 550. I contend it is Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Oh, Jalen Hyatt made the list.
I don't know what has happened with Quentin Johnston's, like, why that move's happened, though. You know what I mean? Like, I understand the move up on Smith-Njigba a bit, but Quentin Johnston, I think, was even money, like, this time last week.
Yeah. Now, I have no thoughts on tight end, but I see Michael Mayer's in there with Dalton Kincaid as the co-short shots, both at plus 125. Notre Dame and Utah, respectively.
The other one I'll bring up, just, you know, again, this is the shop markets, shop different markets within the same shop. If you wanted to eliminate, if you actually had an opinion on this one, Kincaid or Meyer, go and bet the matchup that's offered. If you're at DraftKings, go and bet the matchup and take away the possibility of any of these other guys possibly stealing this from you.
We'd have to bring in like Felica or somebody else because they might have a better idea as to who would. There might be a long shot here to consider.
Right.
I don't know. First defensive player drafted, though, as we've said, this is sort of stabilized, at least here in the short term. It's going to change between now and the draft for sure. Will Anderson, though, is still the favorite, minus 250. And Jalen Carter remains now ensconced at 4-1. Tyree Wilson, linebacker, Texas Tech, at 5-1. So this has been the most stable or the most non-moving of the bunch.
Are you surprised this hasn't swung back a little bit?
Yeah, because you and I said with the Carter off the field stuff, like we minimize it, we shouldn't. But Jalen Carter going all the way to 4-1 seems like an overreaction.
That's what I thought too, but yeah. Now that it's kind of stabilized there for
I just
a week,
think people aren't betting it.
Okay.
Yeah, I honestly bet that's what it is.
I think I'll probably be adding a bit of that small. To my bets.
Kelly, I would like you to do a full breakdown of the first offensive lineman drafted market, if you would, sir.
Oh, sure. You got it. What you got here is Paris Johnson Jr. He ranges anywhere between 6'3 and 6'7 and 290 and 330 pounds. Real solid left tackle. He's going to stabilize the left side of an offensive line for years to come, probably a decade to come. That's why he's your short shot in this market. And Peter Skoronski, basically the same thing, Gil. You just got to figure out who's going to last longer.
Well done. Broderick Jones at 3-1 from Georgia also in there, and the only other in single digits, Darnell Wright from Tennessee at plus 750. Everybody else 50-1 or longer. So a big gap there between those four guys and the rest of the field. For first offensive lineman drafted, all of these, by the way, available at DraftKings. Here are the bets that I've made so far. C.J. Stroud twice to be drafted first overall, plus 682, then plus 340. And then Jaxon Smith-Njigba, I got a plus 350 to be the first wide receiver drafted. So feeling good. Feeling good. We'll come back. Adam Burke joins us in studio. College hoops next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the sports.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20. Count them, 20. MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. And happy to have in studio, always kind enough to join us towards the end of the week here at the South Point. It's Adam Burke, everybody, the glue, or one of the pieces of glue, along with Wes Reynolds, that holds this whole operation together in studio to talk multiple sports. But you are admittedly, by the way, hello, Adam.
How you doing?
Good morning to you. If we're being honest, you're ready for baseball.
Well, I'm getting there. But yeah, I'm ready for – I've come to realize after being in this business for a long time that, like – seasons just start to bore me. And also, like, the deeper we get into a season, I don't know if it's because the market tightens up or maybe it's just a lack of focus, enthusiasm, I don't know. The deeper we get into a season, the worse I tend to do with it, which should be the opposite as somebody who uses data as much as I do, because we have all the data points in the world.
Oh, interesting.
But I don't know. There's just something about it where, like, later in the year, I don't know. Maybe I fall on the wrong side of variance or something, but I get to a point, I get like halfway through a season, I'm ready for something new. I'm ready for a new challenge.
Okay.
So baseball season will bring that.
Well, let me just ask you about baseball before we get any college basketball thoughts from you, which is all of these rule changes, which are all, and we talk about the pitch clock the most, but the bases are bigger. You can only have two disengagements to first base. There's the shift being outlawed. All of this is going to promote offense. You think all of this is going to be great for the game, yes?
For the game?
Look,
it's going to make the game more exciting and quicker,
yeah,
which appeals to a lot of the casual fans. I'm not a casual fan.
You're a purist.
I didn't mind the way that baseball was. I kind of like the cat and mouse game of holding runners on, stuff like that. But, you know, I mean, we have seen in spring training a lot of things have changed, right? Games are about a half hour quicker, which in spring training is a ridiculous number because you get all the pitching changes.
It's amazing.
Lots of offense, stuff like that. Games are significantly quicker, so that's a big part of it. Also, one of the biggest things we've seen, this is starting to get a lot of run out there in social media, the batting average on balls in play, on ground balls, has skyrocketed. So we're seeing the impact of the post-shift world where more ground balls are going for singles. Now, will that translate into runs? I don't know, but it's going to translate into run scoring opportunities. So
this is now, not to get too deep in the weeds, but for those of us who have handicapped baseball for years and years, a average pitcher or an average BABIP for a pitcher has gone from like 298, 299 most years and was getting down into the low 290s, I believe, in the last year or two.
It was 289 last year.
289, which is a seismic shift for those of us who are super nerds when it comes to handicapping baseball. What you're suggesting is that might not only get back to where it was, but might even clear that.
Yeah, it certainly seems like there's a chance that it will. So, again, we've seen a big increase in singles. Now, do singles score runs? Depends, right? I mean, we're still in an era where strikeouts are pretty much higher than ever. Although this is the first time in, I want to say, over 20 years that the strikeout percentage has decreased in consecutive seasons. So we are seeing more guys put balls in play. And I'm a big Guardians fan, as people know. I've seen Josh Bell talking a lot. Like, I saw Josh Bell, they did a social media interview with him, and they asked him, you know, what are you most excited about for the season? And he goes, that there's no shift anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to get a lot more hits this year. So while we've seen a lot of data in terms of, well, you know, this hitter's had 10 hits taken away, this hitter's had 11 hits taken away, the mindset and the mentality of a hitter, specifically a pull hitter, will change. So those guys aren't going to shy away from pulling the ball. So we've seen this uptick in singles. We probably will see an uptick in power as we get deeper into the season and the good hitters are playing more. This is going to create more offense, and I think possibly more offense than a lot of analysts realize.
I want there to be a Ricky Henderson or a Vince Coleman this year. I want somebody to just decide I'm stealing everything. By the way, it does occur to me, though, that when you have a talk 20 years from now to Adam Jr., let's say, and he's like, but Dad, why, if there was a shift, like, couldn't they just easily, like, bunt it the other way? Like, what are you going to – it's hilarious to even have – well, son, that's right, but they just couldn't do it.
Well, look, I mean, pitchers are throwing harder than ever. The average fastball velocity goes up every single season. That may change this year because of the pitch clock and less recovery time between pitches. We have seen a little very mild decrease in average pitch velocity in spring training. But again, you know, starters aren't going full bore yet and all that kind of thing. But hitting is hard.
Hitting is
hard. Like, people just assume, oh, well, there's nobody on the left side of the infield. Just hit it over there. Well, I mean, you know, you've got milliseconds to make your swing decisions. Guys are throwing nastier breaking stuff than ever before. It's just not that easy to do. Plus, they don't tell you in the minor leagues, hey, hit the ball the other way. Like, that's not really
a
skill that you practice a whole lot.
They don't teach it. It's the, right. That's what a ball player told me. He goes, it's great, but no one teaches it anymore. Like, right. So none of us... It's like the whole thing. Like, if Shaq really wanted to be good at free throws, he would have shot underhanded. But it's, like, not a cool look. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's sort of equivalent to bunting the other way in baseball or dropping down a bunt the other way.
Right.
Do you have any new baseball bets since the last time we spoke to you? Anything added?
Well, there is one I'll throw out. And when this particular situation happens to me, I take a lot of notice. So I'm a big believer in sabermetrics, right? As you know, as a lot of people out there know, if you followed my work, I believe in the analytics. I believe in smart teams. I will generally give smart teams the benefit of the doubt. So when I started looking at the Tampa Bay Rays this season, who are arguably the smartest team in Major League Baseball and have been for a long time, I kind of looked at them and I thought, you know what? I don't like this team. And this is the first time in a long time that I could say that about the Rays.
Wow.
I mean, I had them going into the 2020 season. I had them on a World Series future. You know, they obviously got to the World Series in that pandemic-shortened year. But, like, I always believe in this team because I'm like, there's something that they know that we don't.
Rays, Giants, Cardinals.
Right. The Rays, Cardinals, Guardians are another really smart team. Like, I give these teams the benefit of the doubt. Like, the Orioles, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt because they've become really, really intelligent over the last few years. But as smart as the Rays are, I worry a lot about this offense. With Wander Franco, I mean, he missed half the year last year. Mm-hmm. He means everything to that team. But on the pitching side, Shane McClanahan was hurt in the second half, had a shoulder impingement. His numbers were awful in the second half. Jeffrey Springs, reliever turned starter, big innings increase last year. Drew Rasmussen, big innings increase last year. Most of their prospects have gotten hurt and had Tommy John. So those are all guys that spend the offseason recovering and all of that. I actually took the Rays under 88.5. Which was kind of shocking to me just because I believe so much in this team year in and year out. But that's a really high number.
It is a high
for a team that I just don't think is quite as good. The Yankees are obviously already getting abused by injuries, so that's unfortunate for them. But they're maybe the best team in the American League on paper. The Blue Jays are extremely good. And I think that Baltimore will be 500 or better again. Boston is a very high variance team. But I just look at the Rays and... One of the other big things for them, I've talked about this before, not to go too deep, but they're kind of an offensive chameleon, right? At home, they play these low-scoring games. They draw walks. They do things to win 3-2, all that. 2 years ago, they were actually a top-five team in slugging percentage on the road. Last year, they weren't. They were a bad offense on the road. They need to hit on the road, I think. So I took the Rays under 88.5, and like I said, it kind of surprised me to be that down on that team.
Ballpark factors and how each team applies to different ballparks, specifically their home ballpark, the key to much baseball handicapping. Did I hear an Orioles over in there? Did you sneak that in?
I want to do it. I don't know if I can.
Yeah.
Okay. But I really want to do it. I mean, I think this team is going in the right direction. Again, a smart team. When teams make these philosophical changes in the front office, I look at them differently. Like I talked about with the White Sox, I think last week on the show, they have a new hitting coach, and their assistant hitting coach basically came out and deliberately said, we're not trying to hit singles. They want to hit doubles. They want to hit home runs. I think the White Sox are a team I may have some investment in going into the year.
Okay.
But these philosophical changes, I think, are things that can really elevate teams. And that's what I look for, and that's what I've written about in some of my team previews over at VSiN.com. Or the AL West comes today. AL East and AL Central have already been posted.
Your baseball enthusiasm gets me super excited. And again, Adam Burke writes the greatest previews for baseball, and I would say greatest previews in all of sports betting for anything, and you've been doing it for years. So
appreciate that.
People need to know that about your stuff. It's really great. You're going to hate me for this. On the way out, did you want to give one college basketball pick today?
I actually haven't even looked at the card yet today.
Oh, my goodness. All right, there's my answer. All right, well, we gave it its appropriate time then.
Right, exactly.
You're ready to go.
NIT and CBI coming up. That's where it's
give
at.
Me an NIT team that might get there, but it'll have the motivation to win it.
We got 10 seconds left. You're going to do that to me now?
I heard Villanova.
I heard it too.
I heard Villanova come out of Adam's
DePaul
mouth.
DePaul too.
That's what I heard. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Adam Burke, everybody. We've done all we could do. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.